Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Gaslight. Check them out on the corner of Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard in St. Louis, Missouri, right over there on the hill. Hey, if you haven't been by, it's a beautiful recording studio attached to a bar that you can hang out, have a cold drink, eat some tacos, and watch one of your favorite bands recording inside the studio. It's very unique and original and something really cool to be a part of St. Louis, so get out and get involved over there. If you're looking into recording, reach out. GaslightSTL.com has all your details there. You can book yourself a tour, come on over there. If you want to check it out as a fan, there's a lot of great opportunities coming up. There's March 18th, Scrub is filming a live Gaslight session over there, so you can come over and be a part of the taping for that on Saturday 18th, 8 to 11. Also, a friend of the show, Carter Holsey, is returning to St. Louis playing Gaslight on March 26th, Sunday. So check out those events on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, GaslightSTL.com. And yeah, get involved.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
You're listening to Opposites Attack on Rock Paper Podcast.
Woo!
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with the guys of Opposites Attack.
Hello!
Welcome to the show, guys.
What's up, man?
Thanks
for coming up. Thanks for coming to the basement.
Yeah, we're here at band practice. I walked up and heard you guys jamming and was enjoying the show from outside.
All the neighbors get to hear it.
Yeah. But this is exciting for me, and I kind of told you guys a little bit before we got rolling, but I've known Brian a little bit, and
everybody knows Brian.
Yeah.
Popular guy.
I don't really know a lot about the band, but I got to listen to the record, and it's a really great record. And
thanks, man.
And I was excited about coming to meet you guys. Like I said, this is always a fun thing for me to get to discover new music in our hometown and meeting people, you know, all over the place. So, I was really looking forward to this. So
we're happy to have you, man.
Yeah, thank you. I guess before we get rolling too far, you guys want to say hey and introduce yourselves?
Sure. My name's Tim. I'm the bass player and lead singer.
Hey guys, I'm Matt, guitar player.
I'm Brent, I'm a lead guitar player.
Hey, I'm Brian, I'm the drummer.
Yeah.
And the cutest. Definitely the cutest in the band.
Also, our drummer is our best guitar player for some reason.
Yeah. That ain't no good.
Yeah,
that ain't
I mean,
no shit.
What am I going to say?
Yeah. I'm speechless, guys.
Yeah, I mean, thanks, guys.
But, like I said, the record, Finding the Positive in the Negative,
is
now available. November or something? Or
I think it officially came out, when was it, November?
It was late December.
Late December.
Because we were looking around Christmas. When we first started talking about getting it out and doing a release party eventually.
Right.
It was right around Christmas, which was difficult for everybody. So,
yeah, it was recorded a little while ago. Yeah. And our guitar player Brent's house.
Yeah.
Our buddy Pat, who has recorded all our CDs and like kind of produced them, I guess you'd say. He lives in Chicago, and we grew up with him, but he lives in Chicago now. And we've gone to Chicago and recorded. He's came here. He's got like a mobile studio. And so like this time around, we got to do it in one of our houses, which was nice.
Yeah.
You know, farting was allowed.
It was nice. Setting up drums in the front room.
On Thursday night.
Harwood, high
a 72-hour band fest.
Yeah, we recorded the whole CD in just a weekend.
Man.
It was like a 55-hour marathon.
Yeah, it was really, you know.
Living on Pizza Hut.
Yeah. it's expensive. So, like, we try to get the most bang for our buck, you know. Like, knock it out in a weekend if you can do it. And we did it.
Yeah. And, I would, listening to the quality of it, like, I would have never guessed.
Right. Yeah, our buddy Pat, he's good at what he does. And
Doesn't he do sound for like House of Blues?
Yeah, he does sound for House of Blues in Chicago.
In the Metro?
In the Metro. Yeah. He's all over.
Very cool.
Yeah, he's really tough.
That's a great club. I got to see Alice in Chains there at House of Blues.
Oh, nice.
Pretty badass.
He was probably
like with a new singer.
Yeah, we got it. William Duvall.
Yeah, who sounds just like.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like,
yeah,
I mean, like what those guys like. A lot of it, you kind of Lane was the face, but you forgot sometimes how much Jerry actually.
Oh man, singing,
so
he's the brains behind the whole thing.
So like, it was easy for, I think, for William to step in,
and they got a new CD coming out, don't they?
Oh, probably.
I think they do. Like, I just heard that.
They still sound great. But anyway, so that was House of Blues. Shout out to him.
Yeah, Pat's a good guy.
Yeah, that was...
definitely.
But yeah, no, the record sounds great. And now available on your Spotify and iTunes and all your...
the whole shebang.
Platforms and
anywhere
stuff.
You stream or buy music online, it's there.
Yep. Any of the positive and the negative.
Yep. I think it's at physical copies you can get at a music record shop.
Yeah. Proud sponsor of Rock Paper Podcast.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. We really dig them.
They're cool. Sure. Yeah, good people over there and doing a lot to help support local
music. Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah. Yeah, definitely like open door kind of policy and they're good to us.
Yeah. Well, again, we got some tunes we want to play from this record. And these guys said you want to play Grin and Bear It, which is the opening track. The
first track, yeah.
You guys want to... Any stories around this one?
Oh, really? It's just a song about kind of the whole album's really just like finding the positive. Just, you know, the way the world is nowadays is so negative.
Yeah.
You look on any social media outlets, it's just negativity. I mean, nonstop. So we try to look at the glass half full, you know?
Right.
And this first song is about just basically getting up and the grind of going to work and, like, you know, nobody wants to go to work, but you got to do it sometimes. And whatever you do, there's going to be times where you don't want to do it. But sometimes you just got to grin and bear it.
Yeah, man.
Ah.
Yeah.
And get through it.
Around my feet, and I pass it on to
And then another I felt was pretty appropriate this time of year. We got Irish in Me.
Yeah.
Everybody was out. It's actually 3/11 day we're recording this, and everybody's out doing their
right.
St. Paddy's Day parades and things.
So, right.
But anyway, I'm guessing you guys have a lot of Irish background.
Like my favorite, some of my favorite bands are Flogging Molly and Dropkick Murphys and all those, you know, like those Irish punk. I mean, even the Pogues and, you know, all that stuff. Grew up on that stuff.
Yeah.
So it really wasn't our intention for Opposites Attack to be an Irish punk band, but with a lot of the response that we get is that.
Sure.
Like,
it's,
you know,
it's the influences that we, you know, we grew up listening to that
stuff. Right. And then, like, a lot of people like to hand me whiskey, and I don't even like whiskey.
We'll shoot it if we have to.
Yeah, we'll shoot it if we have to. If it's going to be a whiskey, it's got to be Jameson.
Yeah.
It's partially about the heritage, yeah, but just drinking too much and messing up. That's what Irish for Me, to me, is about.
Yeah, Irish for Me is definitely about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, another just a great tune, but yeah, definitely you can hear that, like in that drop kick. And,
oh yeah, and definitely. Yeah, there's some violin on that song. That's played by Mr. Brian's fiance.
Yeah,
Stephanie.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, cool. She's killed it. Anything we've ever asked her to do, man, she's way more talented than we deserve to have helping us.
Like, hey, Steph, we need this harmony figured out. And she'd be like, oh, yeah. I mean,
it's 2 seconds.
Like, yeah, it's right here. Oh, yeah.
Like, and we all just kind of look at each other like, wow.
When we recorded the Irish for Me and Stephanie were out in my garage, and I was teaching her the part, and within, like, 5 minutes, she had it.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
I was out in the garage playing acoustic guitar, and she was playing violin,
yeah,
too.
She's super talented.
Yeah.
Lucky to have her on the record.
Came in and tracked violins. It was like 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, in one take.
Yeah, one take.
Yeah, she's good.
Nice. Yeah. We got, let's see, you said you also, one of my favorites I threw out there was Biting Tongues.
Yeah.
Which I thought we kind of discussed. It was like, it's nice to hear a little different side of it. You know, it's definitely a contrast to your Irish in Me and stuff. It's
clean guitar, a little more emphasis on the vocals. You know, just a softer song.
Right.
Really, and really, we were talking about it earlier. Like we're part of the punk rock scene in St. Louis, but not every song's not necessarily punk rock. You know, right. Like we just like to play music, and nobody wants to be pigeonholed into one category. And it's just really about growing up and not being so close-minded, and just kind of being open to everything. And that's how that track got on this album. I wasn't really sure if the guys were going to dig it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but everybody's like, all right, yeah, I get it.
Yeah. When I was listening, I don't know if you guys, but that kind of reminded me in like a Lucero.
Yeah, okay, cool. I was listening to a lot of Lucero, actually.
Yeah.
When I wrote that song.
There's a song that, what's the blanking on his name now? The lead singer,
Ben Nichols.
I hate when I go to like pull a reference.
right.
But there's a Ben does a couple of solo tunes, and there's one called "Last Pale Light in the West."
Oh yeah, it's a great
and
song.
That's kind of reminding me in that sense, like just that kind of more stripped down version.
Yeah.
Especially what you know, a lot of their stuff's pretty rowdy as well, but hearing a more stripped down version of what
Solo
sound and stuff.
Definitely.
So.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, we threw that at the end of that song. Isn't that where it all comes back in?
Yeah.
We need this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we still brought it home.
Right.
Like, right.
Epic.
Yeah.
Today, I feel younger. I will not act my age. Biting tongues just ain't for me. I'ma say what I wanna say. And yeah, we need this. Yeah, I need this. Yeah, we need this. Understand. When I'm gone now, please remember I did everything for you, my girls.
But I mean, we do. I mean, yeah, like Tim said, it's not always just straightforward pop or punk rock. Like, there's been tons of nights where, you know, I'm over at Brent's house till 3 o'clock in the morning playing bluegrass and getting anything and everything acoustic. So,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We do. Yeah. I mean, we just dig.
We dig it all.
At least twice a month
twice
we do this.
Yeah. Shots until, 3 o'clock in the morning and just
drinking
every
and
acoustic,
playing music. It's great.
Every song we know on acoustic until our fingers hurt.
Right. I think each of us, too, have, like, different genres that we really dig. That the rest of them, rest of us don't really do, but we appreciate it. You know,
so it's fun to branch out every once in a while and get songs like that on there. And people,
people dig
buy
it.
Buy this record, hit us up on Facebook, like, man, Biting Tongues.
Yeah,
that,
right.
That song is so tight.
It's the one song that, I was like, man, I don't know if it's going to really fit, and then it turns out it's a lot of people's favorite.
Yeah.
The first time you played it for me, it blew my mind. It was great.
Yep.
I loved it immediately.
Just different. Yeah, it was just something different.
Yeah, it's way different than anything we've ever wrote.
And in all of our albums, except for At the Bottom, we try to put an acoustic song on there just to have that. Like, I mean, I love acoustic music. Like,
right.
You know, there's nothing better than a singer-songwriter just hitting it and connecting with everybody, And acoustically, you can really connect to the lyrics. They come over real clean. And it doesn't take a lot of listening to get it.
Yeah, definitely.
You know.
You guys describing that reminded me of like Extreme More Than Words and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like they have that. It was like their big hit, but they'd like despise it after so long.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, of course.
Everybody wanted to hear that one and stuff. And it was just kind of funny describing that. Like that's the one song everybody responds to. And
They probably hate it.
But then, you can go the Sugar Ray route, and then just like make every song sound like that.
Sugar Ray, holy shit!
That Floored record was like real heavy.
Yeah, they were like a punk rock band, weren't they?
Yeah.
Seemed like the Goo Goo Dolls. Like, they played punk rock, and then all of a sudden they're like,
Sugar Ray was
"Fuck it,
like
we're selling out."
Yeah, they sold out immediately.
Yeah, they played out Fly, and then everybody's like, "That was the big hit," and then they're like, "All right, the next record's gonna sound like that." And like so, it was just funny. They were just actually around not too long ago. They just did like some big tour, Summerland tour with Everclear and
Everclear. I like Everclear.
Yeah,
I totally dig Everclear.
Are you looking for some new music? Check out Music Record Shop right here in St. Louis, located on Locust at the Dot Zach building. You can come over there. They just had their grand opening for the brand new location, and they want you to come check it out. So come by anytime, but every Friday they have new records in store, new vinyl. We got some tapes and CDs and all kinds of stuff. So if you'd like to get your records on the shelf at Music Record Shop, reach out and get involved. See how we can make that happen too. You can shop online 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to check out their Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. They're always giving away free tickets and all kinds of other things. So it pays to support. So check out musicrecordshop.com.
You can come see these guys live at the Foo Bar in St. Louis for Rude Fest.
Yeah.
Big huge lineup.
Awesome.
Day one. Slapshot. Day one's Friday the 31st of March. And doors are at 6, but there's all kinds of good bands. Slapshot, which is legendary. Hard Evidence, which we play with them. They're really good. The Generators, Antagonizers, ATL, Danny Green. Dogs in the Fight, Kill Their Past. American Discord, which is our brothers from Kansas City. The Haddonfields, great band from St. Louis. Flaminga Nosebleed, who I just checked out. They're really good. Sweatshop, Grave Neighbors, Bass Amp, and Dano, who rock.
Yep. Yeah.
Those guys are awesome.
That's Friday.
Friday, yeah. Saturday, we play, and the Dickies, Turbo ACs, Brutally Frank, who we've known for a long time. Those guys are really cool. They've been through a lot of shit. And I'm glad that they're still around. They're awesome. The Bull Weevils from Chicago. Dan Vapid and the Cheats, who are awesome. The Virgin Whores. The Independents. The Dutons, Rotten Stitches. FTS. Abrexas, Some Kind of Nightmare. Rage. Civil. Dirty Rotten Revenge. Clitoris Rex. which is an awesome name.
Latorus Rex.
Radio Buzzkills, who we just played with not too long ago. Those guys are really cool. The AT and the Subservience. And then Sunday, the last day, the final day.
Sunday.
The UK Subs, which is just totally, you know, Mo, who puts all this on. A lot, I mean, everybody knows Mo.
Scene irony.
Mo is the man. He is the St. Louis scene. Without him, we'd be so broken apart and, you know. Mo is like the epitome of St. Louis local music. He's the guy. He comes out and supports more than anybody I know. We've known him for a long time, and he's been definitely a friend of the band for... He's family, basically.
Yep.
But UK Subs, Ultraman, the Supermen, who are awesome, Cena Irony, Choking Susans, Otto's Revenge, the Moon Bandits, Voice of Addiction, Stink Bomb, which are... Those guys are awesome. SVU, The Fugitives, Creature Illicit, those guys are awesome. The Winks, those guys are awesome. Captain EA, the Long Johns, those guys are awesome. Back Alley Riot, those guys are awesome. Morgan and the Freeman, awesome name. And Tracing Wires, which we just played with them too. They're great.
Got our good buddy Sean's in that.
Yeah, day. Sean and Tim. Those guys are awesome.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, that show is... We're honored to be a part of it.
Stacked weekend.
Stacked weekend. I won't remember any of it. I'm sure these guys here will be half crocked and getting in trouble for peeing outside and shit. But yeah, we're really excited. We played last year and it was too cool. It was Mo. It's hard, like when you play. We played big festivals like that, and it's hard, like, to feel like you're getting, like, sometimes it's hard to even talk to a promoter. Right. Of a venue, of a show like that. Mo, like, goes out of his way to make sure every single band is taken care of.
Yeah,
and
that,
which is unheard of.
Bands a weekend.
Yeah, you just don't see it anymore.
And he had to really be flexible last year because I fucked up. And
we
played on Saturday, and I didn't realize that I had already RSVP'd for a wedding that day. So we had to...
We had to change time slots. And that was a lot, like, it, you know... Like, really, he could have been like, well, you guys will just have to do it next year. But he moved things. He made it work.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's been our brother for as long. I mean, the first time I met him was at the Red Sea.
Right, yeah. 10 years
I wasn't even 21.
12 years ago.
And we just immediately, like, clicked, you know. He's been a good friend of the band for a long time. Scene of Irony, I mean, we love all the guys in that band.
Yeah.
If there was a band we would go on tour with, it would be a lot of fun if we did Senior Irony.
Yeah.
And we just punch Shaughnessy in the face every time we see him. Yeah. It would be a lot of punching Shaughnessy in the face.
Yeah.
But other than that,
making sure he doesn't leave his walker at the venue the night before.
Right. He does the splits, his balls explode, he's got to go home early. You ever seen him? You've seen them? Play?
No.
See an irony?
I don't think so.
Shaughnessy likes to do the splits. Like, he'll jump off stage. Right. This is like a 45-year-old man.
No, he's like 85.
He's probably 85. I mean, and he likes to jump off the stage, and this one night, I remember he did it, man. And we were playing after them, and the first thing I said was like, did anybody else see his balls explode all over the fucking ground? But yeah,
he does this with his bass on.
Yeah,
right. Like
during the set. Yeah,
during the set.
It's too damn old to be doing it. But he does it, and it's awesome, and we love it.
One of these days, he's going down. He's not coming back up.
Yeah,
right.
Fuck.
He'll be stuck like that the rest of his life.
Yep.
Well, and then you guys will be back at Foo Bar on May 6th.
Yes.
With the Murphy's Law.
Yes.
Yeah. Murphy's Law and Boston Prophet. Which is awesome. We played with them recently.
Yeah, they're a fairly new band. We played with them. We just played with Red City Radio, who's another really awesome band. Huge influence.
Oklahoma City.
And
they're pretty much us, just older and more popular.
And way better.
and way more talented.
Yeah. Those guys are awesome, but anyway, Boston Prophet opened up the show, and they blew us away. And they were all really cool guys. I talk to Matt every now and then on the phone, and they're just cool. They're an awesome band. They're one of those bands that you see them, and you're like, they got it. Mm-hmm. Like, they've got it figured out. And They're all really talented.
Yeah.
But yeah, check them out. Boston Prophet.
So we got those on the calendar. Again, April 1st, May 6th, over at Food Bar. So come on over to those. Get involved on Facebook. You guys can keep up to date with more tour dates being announced there.
There'll be more.
Yeah.
There'll be more, that's for sure. Yeah. Can't stop, won't stop.
But like I said, I don't really know a ton of the story behind you guys. I know, like I said, I've known Brian a little while now, but how did this band come together? How do you guys...
A long time ago, we had a different drummer. His name's Kyle. Good guy. And Kyle and Brent started jamming just at Brent's house. Brent always played music. Me and Kyle used to play in a band called American Zero when we were like 15 years old, playing like the old Creepy Crawl. And that's where like I met Bob, the owner of Foo Bar, the first time. Anyway, that band broke up. I was into we all were just into partying and just being dumb kids. And these guys started playing.
18, 17
years old. Yeah, 18, 17 years old. Matt, Brent, and Kyle started jamming over here. And they were like, dude, I had sold my bass. And, I kind of thought I was done.
You sold your amp. You still had your bass.
I had my bass, but I sold my amp, which was dumb. Never sell your equipment because it will always bite you in the ass in the end. But, so these guys were jamming. They called me over. I had one song that it was called "Drawing the Dead."
Yeah,
and it just started with a bass line, and these guys just kind of followed, and everybody just kind of clicked. And I knew, when you play with so many people, you know when you got it and when you don't, And we just clicked, and from that point on, it just was. We really gained a lot of a reputation of. Just kind of being that party band, we would have Wasted
Again, we're
Wednesday.
In the basement right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. In this basement, we would have Wasted Wednesday parties, and
this basement would be packed.
It would just be packed with 80
kids down here.
Just on a Wednesday night,
partying.
We all worked in the restaurant business, so Wednesdays were good as any other night to drink. We used to just get together and we did that. And then when, I would say probably a year later, we had a bunch of songs. And we used to play this place called Rock Island. And it was South City, I think.
Broadway.
Broadway, yeah.
I changed
And it was a pretty wild place.
It was rough, man.
I was way too young to be playing there. We all probably were.
This is a biker bar in South.
It was a biker bar. It was hardcore.
Yeah, it was pretty
tough. The owner really liked us. So he... We played like once a month there, and we met this guy named George Witter, who we all have tattoos. This is what this is. You'll see it throughout a lot of our stuff.
Yeah.
But it's called a George Torch.
He's got one.
But anyway,
for people who can't see it,
if you can see this,
it's on the t-shirts and it's the torch with the wings and the
yeah.
One of our more frequent.
But anyway, that George guy, he took us under his wing. He was a huge NOFX Lagwagon, early '90s punk was his thing, And this guy was a huge dude, fully tattooed, looked meaner than can be, but he was the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah,
and he took us under his wing. He had a little recording studio in his basement. We cut our first record. There, I think he did it for free.
Yeah,
paid him a beer.
We paid him a beer.
For fun.
Yeah,
we're all having fun with it.
It was just cool. It was. We felt like a family. We hung out so much that me and Kyle used to go over there. When we weren't even playing, just to hang out with him. And he always treated us
with them. Yeah,
he always treated us really well. And unfortunately, he was murdered by a biker gang.
Oh man!
And that's what the George torches are for. They're a lot of people in St. Louis actually have them, and but yeah, we record our first album with George, and then our second album, we went to Chicago, and throughout all this, we were building a pretty good following. We used to play at the Red Sea, which was in the Loop. And you remember
Close
the Red Sea?
I know the name. I don't think I remember.
It was a Ethiopian reggae bar upstairs.
Yeah.
And then you go down these little steps and it turned into a dungeon.
Punk rock
dirty
dungeon in the basement.
Shitty sound. How you want it to be.
Right.
For a punk rock band. Just anything goes. You know, they're not around anymore, so I can say, but we could all drink underage there.
Yeah.
Smoking blunts. We're like fucking 19, dude.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So,
it was great.
Yeah, it was awesome. So, like, we played there a lot, and then through that, you know, we started playing other shows, and we, then we went to Chicago, recorded an album, came back, and just played. We played a lot of, we played Point Fest a couple times. We played a couple battles. We did the whole battle thing for a little while.
Yeah.
I understand the battle thing, but at a certain point, you kind of get sick of them.
Sure.
You get tired of draining your friends, and it's draining on the band. It's a lot of work. You know, sometimes like the people in the scene would think that like that's selling out, but look, we're just trying to get in front of as many people as possible. That's, you know, that's mm-hmm. the end game. Like, we want to get our music to as many people and connect to as many people as we can. Why not?
Works.
Yeah, it does.
And
it works.
And we did it.
And it's still going on. It's still working.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fine. And we just chose to go a different path after that. We wanted to go back and kind of just stay, play the almost. Local shows and the fun punk rock shows. And
but to our next.
So then we came out. We recorded At the Bottom. And then Kyle, he was going through a lot of issues, and he needed to step away from the band. And when he stepped away from, he was one of the originals. Yeah. So like me and him wrote a lot of the songs together. And he stepped away, so we were in like this limbo for about 6 months. We didn't really know what to do.
We were doing
losing a drummer sucks. You know, losing anybody in the band that you don't want to go sucks. But it was time for him to go. We were in limbo, and we had decided, like, for a couple months, we weren't doing anything. I honestly thought we were done. And so then we were like, all right, you know, let's try to find a drummer. And, you know, where do you even begin when you start to look for a drummer? And then everybody around us kept saying, try Brian. Brian played in a band called Eyes of Darkness, and we had played a show with them. And I knew he was super talented. I didn't know he played drums.
At the time, he was lead guitar and lead vocal.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the lead guitar, lead vocal in Eyes of Darkness with his brother, Dan.
Yep.
And so everybody around us was like, dude, Brian can play drums, and you guys should, you know, try him out, you know? So,
and at the time, I was a fan of Opposites Attack. Like, I knew you guys.
Right, right.
I was, when we got that show with you guys, Eyes of Darkness and Opposites, so I was stoked. I still have the concert flyer at home.
Right, right.
And I was telling... I was kind of mutual friends with Matt through my brother Mike when they worked together at Quiznos and stuff.
Right,
and
right.
We also played trumpet.
Like, on trumpet. I'd already been to a couple Opposites Attack shows. Like, hey guys, like, I know the songs. I know that, like, the situation with Kyle right now is kind of shitty. Like,
right.
If you guys just want to get together, have a practice, have a couple beers, like,
it doesn't have
to be anything. Like, we can just play the songs and, like, just jam them out, like, right. Keep them fresh.
So he came over.
So we took Brian out on a date.
So he came over, and, you know, I'm thinking this is going to be rough. We had gotten to the point, you know, where everything was so fluid. Like, everything was easy. And then all of a sudden, it was like, we're back at square one.
Right.
And Brian showed up, and he played 10 songs straight through and killed it. And it was like, at that moment, I was like, dude, we can do this. You're in the band, man. Like, let's do this, you know? And it helps a lot that he's a really cool guy, really flexible, really, like, to be in a band with somebody, it's like you're being married to somebody.
Sure.
They're going to have to, you know, you guys are going to have to deal with your prima donna moments, and you're, like, just up and downs.
Your driveway time.
Yeah. Your driveway time, right.
Yeah. It's not necessarily about ability, but it's matching personalities, too.
Yeah, right, right. It's just it's not just about playing
it's
music.
About
but anyway,
both of
Brian
them, really.
Fit really well, and he couldn't have made it easier on us.
Yeah.
So then, with Brian, we wrote the new album.
Yeah.
Here we are today.
That was 12 years ago when we first started.
Yeah. Played a lot of shows, met a lot of people. 12?
Yeah.
Damn.
This past Christmas
was
12 years.
Yeah, we did
that
the 10 years.
Yeah.
I guess that was, yeah, 2 years.
Yeah, that's
ago.
Crazy.
We did the 10-year show.
Yep.
That's crazy, man. Yeah, just let alone, you know, any all of it, but yeah, keep a band together for 12 years, that's...
Yeah, that's a feat. I'm proud of that.
Sure.
I'm really proud of that.
It helps that The three of us, we all went to high school together.
Right.
You know, Brian's a little younger than us, but I know.
But
his,
even
I know
Brian,
his brother graduated with us too.
Yeah.
We
all
grew. Kevin graduated with us.
Yeah, my oldest brother graduated with Brian.
Yeah.
And we all grew up in Fenton, so we kind of have that.
Yeah.
In common, and yeah, it just worked out. Like I have thanked Brian a few different times. Like, dude, thank you.
Yeah.
You really.
And I've told you it's cool. Like, I was already a fan. I know,
but
when I came over for that first
just the
practice,
fact that you played like that first practice, he nailed those.
That first
songs.
Practice, I was so fucking nervous. Like, I really don't want to screw this up. And you guys are like, no, it's cool. Like, you
yeah,
want
like whatever. Yeah, I was ready.
Play some music.
I remember too, because we were like, how's this part going? You were like, hey, it goes like this. And yeah. We all kind of looked
he's
at each other.
Us.
He's in the band.
I got like a track list memorized. Like, oh yeah, but, number four on At the Bottom.
But
yeah.
with Brian, as an addition to the band, like our vocals have gotten better. Our harmonies, we actually do harmonies now. You know, we never did harmonies before. We tried, but we never did them. And with Brian as an addition, it's just only made our band better. And right now we feel pretty strong.
Yeah.
Like after 12 years, we don't feel too beaten down. We're still hungry, still love playing.
Yeah.
Number one, you know. And
that's good to hear, man.
A lot of the past couple shows, we've been playing in front of a lot of people we don't know, and we seem to win the crowd over and, you know, really get them on our side. And like, it's just awesome.
Not
you know,
to
it's, a,
some,
it's a good feeling.
Some serious big-time opportunities from guys like Mo hooking us up.
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Bringing GBH across the pond, like legendary punks.
Yeah.
Sold-out FUBAR.
Can just hang out with them,
yeah.
That was one of the best shows ever.
Or like the Fuck Off and Dies asking us to do their CD release party for Dude Ever. Like stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like,
we're blessed to play a lot of like cool shows in the last few years.
Yeah.
Well, very cool. I got a... I put your guys' picture up online and asked some fans and friends to write in. And
oh boy,
my buddy Lance wrote, asked them about the time they opened at Foo Bar for Gutter Mouth and their drunk ass lead singer Mark.
Oh my god!
I have never seen a guy so drunk try to front a band. It was funny and sad, but Opposites Attack were real good. So,
well, tell me, Lance. Wish it could have went better for them.
Chances are, we were just as drunk. But if you just
you know what I mean? When he said that at first, I was thinking, like, oh, man, what drunk was I?
How drunk was I?
Well, I definitely had some shows where the next day the guys were like, dude, you almost fell off the stage.
You couldn't remember the words.
Couldn't remember the words. And yeah, you can only mumble so much, Tim.
You were farting into your bass.
Yeah, that show with Guttermouth, that was us. Fuck Off and Dies and Guttermouth.
Yeah.
It was a great
and
show.
It was awesome.
It was a blast.
But that dude from Guttermouth was so hammered.
So punk rock.
Like, yeah, I mean, it was great.
He just didn't give a
and
shit.
And like he said, it was great, but it was also kind of sad. And like, but yeah, I remember standing next to Dan Marcel, and he's just like, dude, and he's like, this is one of my favorite Guttermouth songs, and he's butchering it. Like,
right, right.
Come
right.
on. And then he fucking. He
Guttermouth's
dropped,
awesome.
Like mid set, he like dropped his mic, and then he couldn't find it because he probably couldn't see straight down to his feet. So, like, I was, you know, a couple beers deep, too, and I'm like, this guy needs some help. And I'm just like, without even thinking about it, I just run up there, and I'm, like, on stage, and I'm, like, fishing the cord through the guitar's feet. I, like, tap him on a shoulder and, like, hand his mic back, and he, like, gives me a hug on stage.
That's awesome.
I get back in the crowd, so I was like, I can't believe you just did that, man. I'm like, you needed a hand. Like,
yeah.
He can't see his fucking mic on the floor.
Yeah, Guttermouth was one of those bands, you know, when I was a little kid.
Great time, man.
Playing Tony Hawk. Pro skater.
Oh yeah, classic.
You know,
but yeah, he would get up to the front of the stage, and I don't know if he meant to do it, but he kept like just falling into the front row and like throwing him back up.
Right. Yeah, that was a wild one. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Climb the speakers and slam that beer. That
yep.
Kind of
I'm surprised it stayed down.
Yeah. Well, very cool.
But yeah, like Guttermouth, like that, we're so lucky to be played.
Yeah, that was
that's
a real
one,
fun
but,
show.
Yeah,
it's flashy punk rock, I suppose. But
yeah, it was great.
Yeah, we've been real lucky.
Definitely, and that sounds great. Yeah, it was a bunch of wild nights over at Foo Bar, man.
Yeah, Foo Bar's it's been kind of a home to us. Like I said earlier, Bob and us go way back. Bob's always taken care of us. He's just a good guy. He really has always taken care of us. And Foo Bar is consistently getting better with their sound, getting better with the lights, with the whole stage. And,
yeah.
Yeah. We know, like, all the people that work there.
The venue
there
side. And, remember when it first played, the place first opened?
Right, yeah, the venue side was a little rough. Like
a small 100-watt PA.
Yeah.
And it was just atrocious. And the stage was ground level.
Right.
Now, there's a full-size stage.
Both rooms.
Like,
I actually prefer to play the lounge side. It's a lot of fun. It's a small room, but it sounds really good. And like I said, that place has been like a home for us. I hardly ever turn down a show from there.
Well, again, you can see these guys at Food Bar April 1st, that whole weekend for Root Fest. But yeah, you guys are playing on Saturday the 1st, and then May 6th with Murphy's Law over at Food Bar. I was thinking we close this one out with Too Fast, Two Chins. How's that sound?
That sounds good, man.
Sounds good.
Yeah. You guys, any stories around that tune?
Too Fast, Two Chins. I don't know. A while ago, I started calling myself Timmy Two Chins. And,
a little while, 8 years ago.
Yeah. The song, it is what it is. Like, it's just a goofy song about me.
Yeah.
Like, just it's just total nonsense.
It's based on your life, like, 12 years ago.
Yeah, right.
Where it partied really hard.
Yeah.
And Tim was trying to fight the concrete for some reason in a cow suit.
Yeah.
A full grown man in a cow suit for Halloween.
Yeah, crying.
Punching the concrete.
Yeah, we used to be pretty, pretty wild.
Yeah.
Lucky to be alive, really. But yeah, we paid our dues, that's for sure.
Yeah. I'm assuming connection with the Too Fast, Too Furious references?
No, I actually
believe that they stole that from us.
Yeah.
So, we might have to do some copyright stuff against them. Yeah.
No, nothing.
Yeah, that actually never crossed my mind.
Yeah. Well, now Will.
Right. Yeah, every time.
Hey, I'm too fast for y'all.
Think of Vinci. Let's not play that song now.
It should be the theme song.
Too fast for y'all.
Are they making another one? I think they might be.
Yeah, there's
what
a kind
is this,
of
like number 17 now.
Yeah,
shit.
I think so.
Can't stop.
We should call them and tell them to put that as their theme song for the intro and the movie.
Too fast, too true.
It'd be pretty good, I think. Ghost of Paul Walker driving a Ferrari. Too soon.
Sorry. All right. Well, I thank you guys for taking some time to hang.
Hey, man. And, thanks. Thank you for coming
thank
over.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for all the listeners, man.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And again, follow these guys on we got Facebook. And,
Facebook. We're slowly getting there.
Yeah.
It's all the other outlets. But
sure.
Facebook, you can contact us on Facebook. Come to a show.
Yeah.
Say hello.
And grab their brand new record, Finding the Positive and the Negative, on your iTunes and Spotify and everything. Actually, I have a Spotify playlist for the show called Rock Paper Podcast Favorites. And I always added like two or three songs from all my guests. And
I
added that too there, so you can check out the playlist and hear a bunch of other greats. Locals around town on there as well. So,
all right. Thanks for coming over,
man. Yeah, man.
Thank you, guys.
All right. See ya.
Nice day.
I need a lot, little need it fast. Don't test me, boy, put you on your ass. Walking the line is my desire. Come at me, you set your world on fire. Gasoline, not drink it, it keeps me mean. My t-shirts are extra large. Come and find out who's in charge. Yeah, 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 I'm ready. Light the fuse. Too fast, too fast. On the bruise, all right. Too fast, too fast. On the lips, all right. When you hear the bell, you won't make it, I can tell. As the lights fade to black, last word you hear is Timmy's back. Yeah, 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 I'm ready. Light the fuse.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.